The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Hello, happy Saturday. Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week podcast. I'm host, audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Stephen Serta. Pretty busy week for the Kansas City Chiefs, retaining Chris Jones, Drew Tranquil, making other key free agent moves, and signing veteran wide receiver Hollywood Brown. So we'll start things off today on the Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week podcast with the latest episode of Beach Season, just discussing the Chris Jones extension, what that means for the Chiefs moving forward. After that, it's the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show, myself and Pete Sweeney, just discussing the free agency news and rounding everything up for you. After that, we'll take a quick time out. When we get back, me and Pete Sweeney had to go emergency podcast late on Thursday night as the Chiefs signed veteran wide receiver Hollywood Brown. So we react to that, discuss how he improves the Chiefs offense. And then we'll wrap things up with the Arrowhead Pride Draft Room. Just another recap of free agency, discussing how these moves impact things moving forward and what the Chiefs roster currently looks like as we head towards the NFL draft. That's all coming up on today's Arrowhead Pride Best of the Week.
Chris Jones got the bag he deserves. Chiefs got the player that they needed. Oh my gosh. Like I'm fanboying right now about this. Cause I'm just stoked that Jones is back. Like, you don't have to worry about a hit or a miss in the draft. Now you have the opportunity to have some agility about who you select as a defensive tackle. You don't have to necessarily take a defensive tackle in the top three in the first three rounds anymore. You can gamble on a guy that you possibly believe in, or you can say, you know what, I am going to draft a defensive tackle early in the draft. Maybe I'm going to go for a Chris Jenkins. Maybe I'm going to go for a Tavondre Sweat to replace Derek Nnadi and have like a true beefy boy in the middle next to Jones just eating up blockers. You have all this flexibility now of what you want to do. You don't have to take a linebacker because you re-signed Drew Tranquil. Your secondary is already strong. Your passing game is good enough. You still need a weapon on offense. So we'll have to see if the Chiefs have any cash in free agency left, if they have anything to make a move. They can make a move right at wide receiver. If there's one of the guys we talked about, they want to kind of add to the mix a little bit, or they want to try to add a tight end or something like that. But regardless, guys, like, Veach does not go into the draft with holes. He wants flexibility to take the best possible player. And now he has flexibility to spend draft picks to move up for one guy if he wants. Right. If he doesn't re-sign Jones, then he can't trade extra draft picks and move up and take a weapon. Right. Because you got to be able to take a defensive tackle in the first two rounds. Now you have the flexibility to either take one early, take one later, trade up for one, trade up for a wide receiver. Really, the world is your oyster right now. If you're Brett Veach, the whole draft is open to you now. This is just another excellent move by the best GM in football. And things are heating up. This is an exciting, exciting offseason, everybody. And just please stay tuned, because we're going to keep on bringing you more information as it comes. Even if I got to keep popping in at 11 p.m. on a Saturday night because news breaks to add something onto the end of an episode, we're going to do it, man. Because you know what? We're in this together, and it's Veach season, baby. All right. Everybody be good to each other. Love you. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, and welcome back to another week of Beach Season. One more week, still not canceled. What? Made it a week longer than anybody expected. Dane Brugler, still not on the show yet. It's okay. Brett Beach, still not on the show yet. He tried to get on this episode, but we said, you know, Brett, our calendar's just packed. We got too much great stuff to talk about today. But you know what? I'll put you on the back burner. If something falls through, if we have an opening, I'll bring you in and we'll let you talk Chiefs, Brett Beach. If we end up having time for you, but we just didn't have time. Like things are just, it's all bangers tonight, guys. And I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. And I'm saying this all in jest because obviously Brett Beach doesn't know we exist, but someday he will.
I bet he does.
I bet he does too. Honestly, he's going to be like, by the end of this episode, he's going to be like, Xavier Leggett, huh? Ray Davis, huh? That's what we call in the biz, a teaser. That's a little bit of a teaser for later in the episode, guys. That's what we call here in the biz, a tease. But before we speaking, actually, of teases, the ultimate tease, my main squeeze, the best in the biz, Kramer Sansone, my amigo, compadre extraordinaire. What's up, Kramer? Dude,
Rocky, once again, like how you mentioned it already, we're not canceled. We're still here. We're rolling. We're turning. We're burning. And you know what's coming up soon? Free agency. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later on, dude. But I'll tell you what, before we get to anything, we got to keep it hot a little bit, especially what I've been doing around here, around Kansas City, actually, too. Fountain City Pro was this past Friday a massive success. I'll tell you what, guess who won? Guess who won that match at the main event?
Quadzilla, baby.
Oh, man, it was an electric main event. Whatever it does, we taped it on Friday, so whenever it does get posted to like the YouTube channels or the Twitch or however they're going to post it, I'll make sure to put the link out there so you guys can watch the entire thing. But in an insane spot that happened before intermission, a guy named Gary J took a powerbomb. He was sent two rows back into the chairs. Big thud, huge thud. He ended up losing the match. Spoiler, but my gosh, it top to bottom, great show.
I tell you what, man, like when you got heart and you're an athlete like that, you know, it's just how could you do anything but put on a great show? Like, oh my God, that's so awesome. If you guys checked it out and, you know, this past weekend, the Fountain City Pro with our main dude, Crame Dog, and all the great wrestlers, pro wrestlers out there that performed, drop us a comment, you know, in a rating and review, because we want to hear about it. Because so proud of you, Crame Dude. There's a lot of people in who go through their entire life never doing anything that they are passionate about, right? And we're lucky enough that we get to cover sports, you know, and we're passionate about it. And we're lucky enough that we get to cover the world champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
But you are also especially lucky that you get to pursue and cover multiple passions simultaneously. And there's not a lot of people in the world who are lucky enough to get to live their passions like you do. And a lot of people don't have the guts or the cojones or the huevos to go for it like you do, man. And so I just want to say I'm proud as hell at you for going for what you believe in and going for what you're passionate about and just doing your thing, man. Like a lot of people don't have, you know, what it takes to really just step into the fear of going for what they want, and you go for it on a continual basis. And I really respect that, man. Dude,
thank you, Rocky. I'll tell you what, last night I had the itch to want to get into that ring. So I'm not going to, the neck's still messed up. Can't do it. Cause I used to train. So yeah, no, I'm safe and sound in that broadcast too, so I'm cool with that.
Someday, not yet.
Yeah, let's get
the day before you die. Before you die, you're going through a table. That's my prediction.
Oh, if you want to do it, go for it. I'm cool with that as well. Maybe before a Chiefs Bills game here at Arrowhead.
Oh,
maybe,
yeah,
you know, we'll
yeah.
get you fly up.
Maybe
fly
for
up here.
Chiefs Raiders.
That
maybe
too.
Before
that would
Chiefs
work.
Raiders.
Oh yeah,
right? Yeah. That would work. All right. Well, moving on to actual football and actual draft talk and offseason talk. You mentioned that free agency is right around the corner. And one thing we know about Brett Beach is that he enters into the off season with a similar plan in the sense every single year, not prioritizing the same positions, not prioritizing the same types of players per se, but he has a plan that when he enters the draft, he wants to have at least a name at every spot on that depth chart. He doesn't want to enter the draft with any glaring holes. He'll enter the draft with upgrades that are needed, like positions that need to be upgraded, but he's going to at least have a warm body fill in a spot, right? In all those spots. And so I think that this year he had a kind of like a prioritized list of what he wants to achieve before the draft. And on that list, in my opinion, I believe were re-sign Drew Tranquil, trade L'Jarius Sneed, extend Chris Jones, and acquire a veteran wide receiver. Like, I think that's kind of like his four primary things. And the first domino in that series, re-signing Drew Tranquil, happened this week, and it was on a very team-friendly deal. What was it? 2 years for 13, 3 years for 13 million, I think.
Yeah,
$3 million cap hit in the first year. Extremely affordable. Extremely team-friendly. Brings back a guy who stepped in and played middle linebacker. Played the mic when Bolton went out, and I mean the defense did not miss a step. Right, you lose your mic linebacker. And your off-ball coverage linebacker comes in and plays Mike, and you don't miss a step. He's a guy who could play all three linebacker positions. He's super, super flexible. I think that he steps into Willie Gay's role without missing a beat. And so you have your starting three linebackers set heading into the offseason. What do you make of it? You think Drew Tranquil, what do you make of it?
See, I liked the signing in the first place the year prior. I thought, my gosh, he hit free agency. I was hoping he wouldn't stay in division and leaving the Chargers, but yet, you know what? He signed a deal with the Chiefs, and he took the ball and ran with it, but on the defensive side of things, of course. But I like this. It's a good middle linebacker, a good right outside, and a good left outside. Like you said, he can play all three positions. And you could hear it in his voice during the parade when he's like, this is so much better than L.A., so much better. I think he just wanted to stay here. He got that taste of, this is what a Super Bowl parade's like. This is what a Super Bowl is like. I'm a champion now. Like this, I think he got that taste and is like, I know we can do this again. If I'm on this team, we can definitely do this again. Because, I mean, a 1-2 punch combo at the – like you have to have two good linebackers, I think, for a defense to be all well-around circle. And you have one with Nick Bolton, you have one with Drew Tranquil. What more do you really need? I know Leo Chanel's probably going to be the third guy there, but I love this deal with a team-friendly, of course. I mean, you're trying to get Chris Jones and get him paid. So this is great.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to Jones here in a second. I think also a little bit on that parade, I think maybe there might have been some smoke signals going up to other Los Angeles Chargers players who are currently – you know, because the Chargers are in cap hell, yeah, and they have a lot of guys they have to move on from, and they have guys who are going to be free agents. Austin Eckler, you know, coming up this offseason, and maybe he was throwing some smoke signals to some other guys, basically being like, listen, like, why would you want to be the second best team and the second most liked team in your city when you can come to Kansas City and be gods? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's just a fact. Like, why not come play for the most successful franchise in the NFL and possibly win a championship instead of sharing a stadium with a team that is your big brother? Let's be honest. Like, you're always second fiddle in LA if you're the Chargers. So, I don't know. I think there might be some smoke signals going up there.
Because also, money really doesn't – I mean, money can buy happiness. But if you want to live forever in the NFL, you have to win a Super Bowl. That's just how it's going to happen. I don't care how much Michael Vick was got paid whenever he got his big lucrative contract whenever he was a Falcon before the stuff happened. I don't care about that. Was he a Super Bowl champion? No. Drew Tranquil is a Super Bowl champion. I care more about that than whenever they get paid.
Oh, 100%. Daniel Tosh once said, they say money can't buy happiness, but it can buy a jet ski.
It's true.
You ever see anybody frown true. On a jet ski? And so that is true. So money can't buy happiness, but money cannot buy a Super Bowl. And there are some things that are more important than happiness. Like you know what? I am a grumpy, miserable SOB a lot of the time. And you know what?
You don't say.
I would gladly be a grumpy, miserable SOB with Super Bowls than be a chipper, happy guy who values his existence without Super Bowls. Like, give me who I am with the Super Bowl trophies every day of the week.
No, I agree. I mean, I'll never have the chance to win a Super Bowl, but you know what? I'm cool enough to talk about it. I mean, cover the team who's won three in the last, 5 years?
Listen, you're like, you know what?
Pete needs to get us rings.
Yeah, Pete needs to get us drinks, first of all. I mean, for all the work that we do.
Exactly.
And for our contributions to Chiefs Kingdom, I mean, I think so. I mean, we deserve rings. We deserve trophies, and we deserve rings. I mean, Brad and Tom got Emmys, for God's sakes.
That's true. That's like, very true.
They won legit actual Emmys for their work, and we can't even get, like, a Cracker Jack fake plastic Super Bowl ring. Like, just buy me a ring pop and like engrave LVIII on it and I'm happy. You know, I'm not a picky dude, but like, I mean, they got, can you believe they got Emmys? Like, they are Emmy winning.
Good for them. Like, guys, like, they're doing something we're not, apparently.
I tell you what, it's people love the British, you know, like Downton Abbey, Bridgerton. Like, we just don't have the accent. Like I don't sound refined enough. Like, I could try to do a British accent, but I would sound like a guy who doesn't know how to do accents trying to do a British accent. You know, someday, some night when we've had way too many, and I am like half a bottle of like Rough Rider in, and I've had way too many whiskey sours or just drinking it neat or whatever, I will break out my Sean Connery impersonation for you. And it is horrible. It might be, it doesn't even qualify as an impersonation. It's a drunk guy saying he's doing a Sean Connery impersonation and just talking in a voice that sounds like nothing. Like, that's what it is.
We need to make this happen. You know, hey, how about this?
It's horrible.
This is an idea. This is like, we're going to pull behind the curtain a little bit whenever, you know, we brainstorm right now. We'll stay up late, you and I, on a Saturday night. Then we can get them to pop in. Say it's 1 o'clock our time. It's probably 7 a.m., maybe 8 a.m. over there. They can pop on in and we can have a good old chat.
Oh, 100%. And then
I'm down with that.
We'll splice it in. You know, we'll have Serta edit it into the episode. And I mean, I'll drunkenly try to do a Sean Connery accent and act like he was actually British, even though he was Welsh. He was Welsh, I think. He's not even British.
I think he's Welsh.
Oh man, this is great draft coverage. Sean Connery. This draft coverage right now is impeccable. Oh my gosh, this is top. Why doesn't Brett Veach want to be on this podcast?
This is the podcast for Brett Veach, definitely.
Yeah, this is definitely Brett Veach's favorite podcast. Okay, back on track. We digress. Yeah, so we got the first domino to fall in Veach's offseason plan. Number two is it's going to be trading Legarius Sneed, because you need to clear up that 19 and some change million in salary cap before you can pay Jones. Like, that's just a fact of the matter. But a lot of smoke around this, like, and a lot of differing information. Some people saying that the Chiefs are willing to move him for as little of a third, or they'll take whatever they can get. Diana Russini from The Athletic said that the asking price and the expectation is a first-round draft pick, even though it may not be that, but like the minimum is 2 second-day picks, like a second and a third. There's rumored to be 7 teams interested in Sneed currently, including the Lions, the Pats, the Colts,
and Vikings, a couple other teams. Titans, Jaguars, and did you say Falcons already and Patriots?
I did not say Falcons. I did say Patriots.
All right. Yeah.
There's a lot of quarterback needy teams and not a lot of guys who can lock people down like Sneed has done and play from multiple different positions while also blitzing the quarterback. I love Sneed, right? I've said it before. I said, give me 11 Legarius Sneeds and I'll win the Super Bowl, right? Like every single year. So I think he's a phenomenal football player.
I think a couple years ago, right, we were a little surprised. This was before the dynasty and everything was solidified. We were a little surprised that the Baltimore Ravens, who have been a great conference rival to Kansas City, kind of bailed them out in a sense. You know, you have your opinions about Orlando Brown. I don't think there's anyone that could argue reasonably that Orlando Brown wasn't at least average for Kansas City. And they needed somebody that was at least average at that left tackle position. You know, I think he would tell you that he's above average, but that is a conversation that we've had a long time ago. We don't need to get back into it. What I'm saying is, like, I just think the days of any kind of trade like that happening are over. And I would even extend it, Steve, to the NFC contenders, whether, you know, you want to call that the Philadelphia Eagles, the 49ers now, certainly the Detroit Lions are going to be in that mix. I don't think anyone is banging down Brett Veach's door to trade them a receiver. So even this one for one that, you know, you may get L'Jarius Sneed, I still don't think teams are considering that, because everybody knows how much better the offense would be if you had a legitimate receiver to pair with Rashee Rice. And the Chiefs are clearly seeking that. And again, nobody trying to help them, no one trying to rush to do that. The reason they have a receiver opening, Steve, is because Marquez Valdez-Scantling released. And right now we have heard some smoke on Curtis Samuel. There was a little bit on Darnell Mooney, but he ends up going to the Atlanta Falcons. Now Mike Williams becomes a possibility. We alluded to it before, but the Chargers forced to part ways with Mike Williams just to get cap compliant by the start of the new league year. And he's taken some offers. He only played 3 games last year, had a significant injury, but could be ready for training camp, because the injury was something that happened early in the season. I like this fit for KC. And I know that there's a lot of people, from what I can see on X in my mentions and some of our AP comments, that would prefer Curtis Samuel, certainly a player that I think Andy Reid would be able to do a lot with, just considering he's a little bit of one of those dual threat type of guys. But man, I feel like you got to get Mahomes someone who is a big target and can get him the 50-50 ball, and he can go up and get it. And I tweeted this out, Steve, with Mike Williams and what he's been able to do in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium. And he has been absurd at Arrowhead Stadium. In just 5 games in which he's had 50% or more snaps, 30 catches, 457 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Those are absurd numbers at Arrowhead in 5 games. So you bring this guy in, I think, you know, you have a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. Who knows what the ceiling is? And again, kudos to Jared, who mentioned this on X, but you can do that type of deal if he's willing, that they did with Juju Smith-Schuster. Remember, Juju Smith-Schuster had the injury. There's a thing called likely to be earned and not likely to be earned incentives. The key here, and this is probably wrong, probably shouldn't be this way, but the likely to be earned is based upon the previous season. So when a player like Mike Williams, who's a former first-round pick, only plays 3 games, you can push all of those salary cap constraints to next year. So if he's willing to do one of these incentive-based deals based upon last year, to me, this is the guy. Like, you want a legitimate receiver in Kansas City? He's been a Chiefs killer at times, as I mentioned. Go and get Mike Williams. I'm not, Steve, you know this about me, I'm never big name released, go get him guy. I hate that. But this is a different case for me, because I just think that these type of players don't become available that often. Like, it kind of reminds me of when Sammy Watkins suddenly was available with the Rams years ago. Where the Rams wanted to keep him and they suddenly had to get rid of him, and he just happened to be on the open market. That's Mike Williams. And I gotta believe Kansas City's inquiring.
I think it's really interesting. I like Mike Williams as a player, and I do totally agree with you. Like, I think coming off of that injury, and he's a player who's already gotten a decent payday in the NFL. So I don't think he's gonna, you know, command some outrageous contract. And the Juju contract, I think, is a really good place to start for a player like Mike Williams. Now, I don't know what his offers are going to be. And I think the wide receiver market hasn't been nearly as high volume as a lot of people were making it out to be. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Mike Evans took a team-friendly deal, and, you know, Michael Pittman and T. Higgins don't wind up going anywhere. And now it's kind of down to Calvin Ridley, and we're still kind of waiting to see what happens with him. But I speculated about this a little bit before free agency. Like, are we going to see the wide receiver market kind of level off? And I feel like that kind of has been the case so far. And I don't think we're going to get any like groundbreaking wide receiver deals. So it does feel like you could get Mike Williams at a discount, or at least at some kind of team friendly contract. I think at this point, though, like with his injury history, because it's not just him coming off the serious knee injury, it's he's had back problems, had, you know, all kinds of issues during his time with the Chargers. And I think that's just kind of stacked up. So I'd just be a little bit weary about that. And the same thing kind of goes with Curtis Samuel, where I think Curtis Samuel is a good fit, and I would like to see what Andy Reid could do with Curtis Samuel, because I think Curtis Samuel is like a better all-around wide receiver than Mecole Hardman, and I think he could be play a very similar role to what Mecole Hardman did for the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe a lot more cost-effective. Like, I'm at the point with the Chiefs where there's been enough success in the draft where I'm like, cost-effective veterans, go draft another wide receiver, especially in a class that's deeper at the wide receiver position than any other position.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I think cost-efficient is smart, and I still think it's worth saying this and bringing up this point, that if let's say Williams was the guy, or let's say it's even Samuel, right? You're still looking at them having, you know, that player as a second or third option, just depending on how you rank Kelce and Rice. I know that Travis Kelce looked to be a step slower last year, but I just really believe that that injury before week one hindered him. Because if you notice, once he was able to get enough rest, and you know, I think a big key to the season and the playoff run was him just taking himself out of the mix in week 18 and being able to essentially have a bye week, he looked pretty good in the playoff run. I understand that there's the ultimate playoff motivation. It seemed like from all the reports, he wanted this better than anyone. But if he had that energy for back to back, how is that going to be any different for three in a row? And so if it is, it just is one more significant threat. Like, you feel really good about Isaiah Pacheco, feel really good about Kelce, even still, you know, the age that he's at, you feel great about, you know, what Rashee Rice can do. It's just one more big threat, Steve, which is why the Chiefs decided to bring in tight end Irv Smith Jr., because they needed one more. No, I'm just kidding. But they did bring in Irv Smith Jr. And as I've been talking with our lead analyst, Ron Kopp, this feels like one of those scenarios, Steve, where the Chiefs, and they do this each and every year, and I find it to be very impressive, they make themselves a week one roster that they could play with before the NFL draft begins. So if Blake Bell, who's due to become an unrestricted free agent, does move on, all indications tend to point in the direction of that, you are still able to do all those 13 personnel things that you were able to do before when you had him paired with Kelce and Noah Gray. And so a little bit of a role player signing for Kansas City. I think in talking to Ron, and we came into an agreement, we're not even sure if he necessarily makes the roster, but a lot of upside on this guy who started with the Vikings, spent a year in Cincinnati, and now is a member of the Chiefs. I know from doing the fantasy show all those years, you would recommend Irv Smith Jr. every once in a while. What did you think of this signing?
So early in his career, I really, really liked Irv Smith.
Big Irv.
Because we talk about these tight ends now, and like Brock Bowers, who's coming up in the NFL draft, and like Dalton Kincaid, and these guys that are like, yeah, they're not really like inline blockers, but they're more like slot wide receiver type bodies who are bigger than receivers, and they're explosive, and they can create plays downfield. And like Travis Kelce's been playing that role, kind of going back and forth the last several years. And Irv's not going to be great at that kind of stuff, but he is a really good receiving tight end who has flashed some potential, and he's still really young. It's crazy that he's only 25 years old, because it feels like he's been around for a while now. And going into his second year in the NFL with the Vikings, there was legitimate expectations that he was like an ascending player, and then he has a knee injury, winds up missing the entire year, and it's just never really bounced back from that. So I think, yeah, it might be a long shot for him to actually make the roster, but this is just a typical Chiefs move where you're bringing in a former high-end draft capital guy who had high potential, is still really young, has had some injury setbacks in his career, but if he stays healthy, still could provide some pretty serious upside, and I think could certainly provide more upside as a pass catcher than Blake Bell ever did. So
I
hope they get something out of him at this point, because he's hasn't been able to live up to his potential, and I'm hoping the Chiefs can find a way to make that happen.
Yeah, and I don't think it necessarily rules out them taking a tight end in the NFL draft. I mean, this is a team that they wanted to have four tight ends, you know, that 14 personnel type of thing, and Jody Fortson couldn't really stay on the field. By the way, he becomes an unrestricted free agent now that the Chiefs have not decided to bring him back. I think he had been exclusive rights, one of those type of statuses, but he is a free agent. And so it doesn't rule out them bringing in a younger tight end. And you know, Steve, on one of these you know, in these one of these Arrowhead Pride parlays that we make, and we have a Kelce anytime touchdown, we're going to be one away, and Irv Smith Jr. is going to get the ball in the red zone. We know that that's going to happen to us because it happens to us all season. And so I like it. And again, I am always impressed. I just think this is another chapter of the Chiefs filling out their roster before they get to the NFL draft, because then there's no pressure, baby. You can just kind of go with your ebbs and flows. You can look at your needs. You can say, okay, we have a couple needs. Let's take the best player available at one of those needs and build from there. And I think that's why you've seen them have really good rosters each and every year since the Veach regime took over. All right, let's get to these three players. I think this was kind of expected with all three of these guys, Steve. Drew Tranquil retained, Mike Pinnell retained, Deion Bush retained. And in the frame of Drew Tranquil coming back, what it meant was Willie Gay Jr. Goes to the New Orleans Saints, moves on. He actually rejoins, we talked about Matthew before, but he rejoins Tyrann Mathieu and Colin Saunders, two other fan favorites. All three Chiefs fan favorites are now in New Orleans. Gives you another team to root for when, you know, of course, when they aren't playing Kansas City, but you'd like to see those guys all have some success together. But Drew Tranquil back on a three-year deal, Mike Pinnell and Deion Bush as well.
Yeah, and I just want to say that I'm bummed that Willie Gay is no longer a Kansas City Chief. Obviously, we all expected that, but I do feel like during his time here, like, he was a very good draft pick for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they got a lot out of him over the past few years. But at the end of the day, like, what we saw from Drew Tranquil coming in last year, filling in for Nick Bolton and being such an incredible linebacker for that defense and that all-time Chiefs defense, like, Tranquil's just a more versatile player. Like, he's a guy they can lean on to do a little bit more, because that was kind of always the issue with Willie. Is like, Willie would flash this incredible athleticism, but he wasn't necessarily on the field 100% of the time because he was constantly in this rotation because of his limitations as a football player. And I don't think Tranquil has those same kinds of limitations. Like, we saw he can play either linebacker position. He can come and do whatever they need because he's so versatile. And I think that's really what it came down to. And it's not like a massive deal for Tranquil. Anything,
yeah. But. And I also think, I'm not trying to slight Willie here, but I think, like, sometimes if it's football IQ first over athleticism, especially with Steve Spagnuolo. You know, Steve Spagnuolo is putting these guys in different positions to have success. And they prioritized Tranquil, and I think they really liked what Tranquil was able to do. Was a great backup for Nick Bolton when Nick Bolton goes down. You don't have a lot of situations in the NFL where the green dot goes down and you virtually don't skip a beat like they were able to do with Drew Tranquil. And I think Tranquil probably got a little bit less. I mean, you will never know, but I think he probably got a little bit less in Kansas City because he definitely made it clear all season long that he wanted to be here. One of the questions I had to him during the year was, have you told your agent how much you want to be in Kansas City? And he kind of smiled and said, my agent knows how much me and my family like it in Kansas City. And so you probably got him on at least a slight discount. And then Mike Pinnell, man, why did you ever leave Mike Pinnell? He was a perfect fit here in KC. And I think he's probably better on the Chiefs than he is anywhere in the rest of the league. Steve Spagnuolo speaking of that, Joe Cullen, they seem to have a knack for putting him in the right position. And then Deion Bush, good to see him back, more of a role player. But remember, Steve, just three snaps in the AFC title game, the guy makes a key interception. So just bringing back some key players that, you know, again, not really the sexiest moves, but moves that you have to make sure that the team from top to bottom is good to go.
Yeah. And they're just role players. Like, we see this across the league. Like, there's these role players who, you know the system, can come in, give you decent reps when you need to. And the Chiefs guys right now are Deion Bush and Mike Pinnell. And I'm happy to have them back because they don't cost anything and the Chiefs will find a way to utilize them to their fullest potential. So I think those are strong moves that we expected, but like just typical Chiefs moves.
Yeah. So let's get to a couple players that are going to new homes. We had mentioned Willie Gay to the New Orleans Saints. Again, happy to see him back under the wing of Tyrann Mathieu. I think he can have some success there. Really happy about this one, Steve. Nick Allegretti to the Washington Commanders. Not to say that you ever want to see the key depth of Kansas City leave, but Kansas City viewed Nick Allegretti in a certain way, and that was as a backup along the interior, could play both interior positions, even a little bit of center. And he was key for KC as you went this year when Joe Tooney had the injury, played in the AFC title and then in the Super Bowl. was able to avenge that terrible loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and now gets to go somewhere, make a little bit of money, be back in the same offensive line room as Andrew Wiley, and you know, work with that Cliff Kingsbury offense there in Washington. So I tend to like the fit, and it seems like he's going to be the starting left guard of an NFL team. And so leaves a three-time champion, 13 regular season starts. I mentioned the Super Bowl starts. This is one of those signings that you're happy about. And, you know, the Chiefs are going to have to do some work to make sure they have depth behind Joe Tooney and Trey Smith now.
Yeah, I mean, seventh round pick who got a big free agent deal after being a hero in the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs. And now he's going to go be a starting player for another team that's trying to build up and has a number two overall draft pick and likely taking their franchise quarterback. Like, it's a great story for Nick Allegretti, and I'm very happy that he got paid. The interior offensive lineman market is just absolutely booming right now, too. Yeah. So there's no way the Chiefs were going to be able to retain him. And I think
it used to be left tackle and four bumps. And yeah. Now it's like games that defensive coordinators play up front and lighting people up on the right tackle instead, it's different now.
And I think it's some of this can be looked at as another thing of like the league adapting to what the Chiefs have done, where the Chiefs have kind of said, especially last season, like, well, we know the interior of our offensive line is elite. We'll just get by at the tackle situation. And it's really hard to find amazing tackles, as the Chiefs have been trying to do for years now. Like, it's really, really difficult to do that. And so teams are kind of exploiting inefficiencies in the market right now where they're like, well, what if we just make the three guys on the interior really good and we pay them money and it's still cheaper than paying a tackle position? Like, I think the NFL always has a way of kind of catching up to these things. And I think this is just the overcorrection for the interior offensive line play, because it's a little easier to find guys who can be productive there as opposed to guys who are going to be like elite tackles.
And I mentioned Cliff Kingsbury, new coordinator for the Commanders. You gotta think that Patrick Mahomes was on the phone with his college football coach, vouching for his dog, as he likes to call him, Nick Allegretti. And we're just happy for him. I mean, he was really great interview as well. Would always come up to us and chat in the locker room when we needed him. And we will root for him from afar here in Kansas City. All right. Last one to a new home that we have to talk about. Tommy Townsend goes to the Houston Texans. I like what Houston is building. And again, another fellow AFC team that Townsend goes to, but the Chiefs saw an opportunity. I believe that the contract was like $6 million. I got that right, Steve, for Townsend. And so they get a cheap option in Matt Ariza, who obviously had some off the field stuff, but has been nicknamed the punt god. And so just a money saving move. I thought Townsend was good for Kansas City in his tenure, 2022, first team all pro, and leaves a 2-time Super Bowl champion.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back into an emergency edition of the Arrowhead Pride Report. I am Steven Serta. It is just after 10 p.m. in Kansas City on Thursday evening. And as is really just become nature for the Kansas City Chiefs, we got a massive deal that we got to break down as they finally land their number one caliber wide receiver on the open market in Marquise Hollywood Brown. It's a one-year, $7 million deal worth up to $11 million in incentives. Pete Sweeney, the Chiefs finally got their wide receiver.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And as we were alluding to before we started the recording, it seems like Kansas City can't make a big contract before 9 p.m. local time. They have to wait till the thick of the night. But I think Kansas City fans have been waiting so long that this can be a welcome signing at any time in the middle of the night. That would have been fine. And yeah, Hollywood Brown now comes to Kansas City. I think when you talk about what the team needed, it was certainly another receiver of the caliber of Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice neared 1,000 yards this year, didn't get there. Remember, the Chiefs actually rested a lot of their starters week 18. But they needed someone like that to be brought in to ease up the pressure on him and really everybody else, Travis Kelce included in that. And Hollywood Brown, though he's still a young player, 26 years old, he's already recorded a 1,000-yard season just 3 years ago, was a Baltimore Raven to start, was taken in the first round, which we know that general manager Brett Veach tends to like. Things kind of ended a little sour in Baltimore. He was traded a couple years ago during the NFL draft to the Arizona Cardinals. That's where he spent the last 2 years. The Cardinals have been kind of a mess. Brown faced a few injuries here and there, and so he hasn't been able to match that 1,000-yard season since. But what that created was an opportunity for Kansas City. And so they're able to get what could be an A-plus caliber type of player for a base of $7 million, as confirmed by a source to Arrowhead Pride, and again, up to $11 million. And it is kind of like that Juju Smith-Schuster deal, where I imagine $7 million will be on the books, and you could have a player that makes a really, really big impact for the Chiefs. And we've been talking about it for, what, the entire season, even as they won the Super Bowl.
The last 2 years, Pete.
Yeah, right. They needed a wide receiver, and so, you know, they go and finally get one.
Yeah, and I want to talk about Hollywood a little bit more and kind of how he fits in the Chiefs offense. But before we do all that stuff, I want to zone in on the contract here, because I think the contract is really interesting. And you mentioned it. He is still a very young, very talented wide receiver who is coming off of some down years in Arizona. But obviously that situation was not particularly good. And I think everybody knows it. Like, if you watch Hollywood Brown and you've seen what he can do when he is healthy and on the field, like, he's a talented football player who was in pretty poor circumstances there. But this kind of one-year prove-it deal for a player of his caliber is an incredible advantage for the defending back-to-back Super Bowl champions, because $7 million, like, if he has a monster season, works his way up to that $11 million incentive, fantastic. But what this says to me, too, is that there's still a chance that the Chiefs could hang on to Legarius Sneed and still have some cap space ahead of the NFL draft. And I kind of like with what they've done. If that's it, like, if they keep Legarius Sneed, keep Chris Jones, keep sign Hollywood Brown, bring back Derek Nnadi, Turk Wharton, and all the other guys, like, this has been a pretty impressive offseason so far for the Chiefs.
Yeah. And you look at some of the signings that came through earlier in the night with the guys that you mentioned along the interior behind Chris Jones. You know, you have Mike Pennell back in the mix. You have Turk Wharton back in the mix. You know, Derek Nnadi came through. And so what was a defensive line you might have been a little bit worried about, you feel okay. As of this time that we're recording here, Legarius Sneed is still on the roster. I think there have been rumblings and some thoughts that, okay, maybe the Chiefs would need to get rid of Sneed before they made a deal like this. But with Patrick Mahomes opening up the cap, I think there's a reasonable scenario here where Sneed stays on the team. And if they can't come to a long-term agreement, he plays on the tag. And I think now you're looking at a team, like, what's the biggest need after that? I think you probably need another pass rusher because Mike Dana is still out there. I mean, I haven't completely ruled out him coming back, and you probably need an offensive tackle. But I think you're feeling suddenly pretty good about the way that this offense looks, and there's still a lot of time here. You have the NFL draft. There's still more signings to be made. And you mentioned the contract for Brown. I mean, how often do we say the words of our great friend, our great late friend, Therese Baylor, the contract year is undefeated. That's what I love about these one-year contracts that Kansas City has done these past couple of years. We mentioned Juju before. You have him for a year. And, you know, I know there was a problem, as I mentioned, at the end in Baltimore, but you have the ultimate motivation for him to perform well and have maximum effort, because now he can play in Kansas City a year, and maybe he ends up a Chief in 2025. But at the end, he's going to make a lot of money if he performs well. And I think when you have complaints about an offense, I think that stops when you show up and you're looking at Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and you're looking at Andy Reid in the face. I mean, they're going to put him in the best possible position to succeed. And you pull up some of the numbers here, you know, you go back to the 40 times. Tyreek Hill, for reference, his 40 time was 4.29. Marquise Brown at his pro day was 4.27. And as was mentioned to me by folks in the building shortly after the contract, I mean, they tracked his GPS stuff all the time. I mean, you're looking at one of the fastest players in the league. And you know, I don't want to say he's as fast as Tyreek Hill, but he's up there. I mean, he's within the conversation. And so the Chiefs really have a weapon. And I think the most exciting part is, like, what is Andy Reid going to be able to do with this type of player?
Yeah, he is a field stretching weapon that they haven't had since Tyreek Hill. And he is a much higher caliber wide receiver, in my opinion, than Marquez Valdez-Scantling and then Mecole Hardman and what they've been working with over the last two seasons. So to get him on this one-year team-friendly contract is a huge advantage, because I also think that means the door is still totally wide open for them to take another wide receiver in the draft. And that's how you can really build this thing up. If you already have Rashee Rice, you expect big things from him in year number two. Hollywood Brown hopefully can stay healthy and be a big playmaker for you this year. You got Travis Kelce. Go draft another young wide receiver and hopefully you hit gold again. And then all of a sudden, this wide receiver room is stacked with young players.
Yeah, and there's still some wide receivers out there, right? Like, not every receiver needs to be a big splash deal like this. I mean, I could still see them adding some free agent wide receivers. I don't think the door is closed on that either. And I think when you have a one-year contract, in a way, that's a stopgap. You don't know how he's going to do. What if Marquise Hollywood Brown explodes for 1,200 yards? You know, I'm making something up here. Maybe the Chiefs aren't going to want to pay whatever that equates to next offseason. You have to still, I think, add to the room. And like I think I've said, you know, in every offseason, it's always fascinating to me how they really load up the roster ahead of the NFL draft. And they do this for a reason. And so, like, if a certain receiver is in a certain round and, you know, maybe you're not valuing him at that round and you have other positions to need, right? You have to build a 53-man roster and really a 69-man roster for the NFL season. You don't have to necessarily force a need in certain spots. And that goes into team building. The Chiefs have been really good about that. And when you're paying the quarterback what you are and you have this massive deal for Chris Jones, you got to be shrewd. And they have been shrewd. And this is another really smart deal, high upside. Again, not a ton of risk. It's not like you're giving him a 3 to 5 year deal. And so I think Kansas City fans should be pretty happy. And look, we can argue about, is this a good contract? Is this a bad contract? Is it a smart move, dumb move, whatever? All I had to see was Patrick Mahomes smiley face emoji. So if the quarterback is happy and it's the greatest quarterback we've ever watched play through the amount of years that he's had in his career, then to me, I think he should be smiling right now, whether this was the receiver you wanted or not.
Yeah, it's just such a massive advantage for a team like the Kansas City Chiefs to get a player of this caliber on this kind of deal. Like, that's how I feel about this contract, because I do think that Marquise Brown's a very talented player who still has a lot of things to prove. And, you know, maybe he was getting more money somewhere else, but decided to come to Kansas City because this is the best opportunity for him to maybe get a huge contract next offseason. But you can also come here and win, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to help them next season. And now I'm very excited about the Chiefs offense in a way that I don't think I was excited about the Chiefs offense at all the entire last season, in a way that I'm excited about the Chiefs offense looking into next season now.
Yeah, no, I think it is interesting the way it is right now. But again, we're still, what, in day two of the new league year, I still think there are moves to be made. And again, it really makes for a NFL draft where they can be flexible. I think there are other teams that probably were looking at the Chiefs and with that Snead trade, we had talked about it. Well, you know, they need to move Snead to fit under the cap. Well, now the Chiefs have all the time in the world. It kind of seems like they could play with Snead signed, you know, if he signs the tag and just play with Snead on the franchise tag, he'd make more money than he has in his entire career. And so when you give that message to teams across the league that, like, you don't really have to trade this guy, maybe that's when a fourth or third rounder becomes a second rounder again, because I think there's going to be a lot of teams in the NFL. This is a cornerback needy league that looks at Kansas City and says they're comfortable. You know, they can wait as long as they want on Legarius Sneed. And so really opens up a lot of doors and, again, makes things very difficult for the rest of the NFL. This is why, like, a couple days ago when we see the reports that the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't want to trade Diontae Johnson to the Chiefs, nobody wants to help this team who continues to make right decision after right decision, putting themselves in the best possible position to repeat Super Bowl champions.
It's the Super Bowl tax, man. We're going to have to pay it at some point. So Chris Jones will probably be the first person we see that with. Nate, what are your takes on the deal here, man?
Yeah, no, I think this is a definitive win for the Chiefs. I don't think there's pretty much no price for me that would have been like, that's too much. Because Chris Jones is just one of those players you play or you pay. Like, he's dominant in the postseason. He's dominant, just a dominant player in general, but especially dominant in the postseason. He shows up every time. He's now, because of Aaron Donald's still a very good player, but Chris Jones is now the best interior defensive lineman in the league. You just pay those guys. And my thing about like pass rushers is that pass rushers age well. Like, I think people talk about like, well, you know, Chris Jones is now 30. How will he age? Like, the history of pass rushers, they age pretty well. And even in their 30s, even like in diminished roles, like role player roles, they still continue to play well. I saw some people be like, well, if you look at like J.J. Watt's career or Fletcher Cox's career, but it was like J.J. Watt had like 8 surgeries in the middle of his career. And Fletcher Cox was like in a rotation with like many players of the Eagles. That was like on purpose that he was playing less. Like, we have no evidence that Chris Jones hasn't been like a dominant player for like 6 or 7 years now. And you just pay those guys. He's a cornerstone of this franchise. He's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. And you just keep those guys in their prime as long as possible. And like Jared said, yeah, I would bet the Chiefs restructure this. Like, Chris, you know, they're gonna mess with this a little bit during the time here. But like, it's worth it because you keep a Hall of Famer in his prime here. And when you have opportunities to have those players, unless you're getting, you know, 5 or 6 picks like Tyreek Hill, you just keep those guys. And the difference between Jones and Hill is that the Chiefs had Mahomes and Kelsey on offense. They had ways to replace the impact of Tyreek Hill. They had no way to replace the impact of Chris Jones. So they had to keep him, and I'm just glad they did. And I'm glad this finally got resolved and that there's a real chance he's going to retire here or at the very least spend his entire, like, prime with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think it's nice that you bring up the fact, though, that sometimes, like, these great pass-rushing defensive linemen, they do age pretty well. You know, the people that are saying, well, he's getting ready to be in his 30s a little bit, you think on it. It's like, well, he's not like 6'1", 340-pound defensive tackle with limited movement skills. Like, he's a big, tall, athletic guy. He, you know, he's going to obviously lose a little bit of it. But if they're able to correctly manage his snaps, that's going to be the thing in my eyes, is they got to manage those snaps these next 3 years to get him to play into the full contract of 5 years. But, you know, just from my end, I was happy with it. Like you guys said, he's, you know, there was no other moves. They're not going to bring in this role guy and that role guy and recreate that. You know, that's, you know, the opposing team has to create their entire game plan around him. And if you make,
you really can't recreate a pass rush through like parts. Like, it doesn't, that's not how like defensive line play works. You can't like have role players replace impact.
Right. And if you make a mistake like the 49ers did in the Super Bowl, where they just didn't block him on that last goal line play, like, he's going to get through and make something happen. You have to know where he's at all the time. Mm. Now, there's something else that's happened, though, because they did sign Chris Jones, and there's been a ton of speculation. But as of today, and as of us recording this on Thursday, March 14th at 6:45 p.m., L'Jarius Sneed is still a Chief, and he's going to be on – the franchise tag is what they have him on right now. I think it's a $19 million number. I don't know, guys. I mean, time's starting to pass now. You guys think that they're just going to eat that and keep him and bring him back and create, you know, continue to have that elite defense? Or do you think they're just kind of waiting to kind of feel out the water and kind of see where the best trade is? Jared, I'll go back to you on that one.
So heading into the start of the league year on Wednesday, when the Chiefs would have to be cap compliant, the two main sources had very different numbers from how much cap space the Chiefs had, but it looked like the Chiefs' plan was to get a L'Jarius trade done so that would make them cap compliant. And then out of nowhere, we see, I think, Tuesday night that Patrick Mahomes has restructured his deal. They've restructured it. I think his contract, they don't even have to ask Mahomes if they're going to do it. They just do it. But that created $21 million in cap space, and now – they can keep Sneed on the tag. I don't really think they plan to do that. I think they probably were getting some lowball offers because I think teams thought, hey, the Chiefs need the cap room. They're going to just take a mediocre trade package for Sneed. And I think the Chiefs made it pretty clear they were not going to. I think ultimately, I think he'll be traded. I think they'll find a trade package. It's not a great draft for cornerbacks, and the best cornerback currently has a broken foot, but I think the Chiefs are doing it the right way, where they're legitimately willing to just hold on to him and pay him that franchise tag if they're not happy with the package they get. But I think that they will get something probably in the next week or so.
No, yeah. I mean, I've kind of thought that, you know, I honestly thought at one point this offseason, just because of the way stuff went with Chris Jones, that they were going to like get Sneed on the tag, then re-sign him if something goes wrong with Jones. But obviously they made it work. Nate, what do you think? about the whole situation with Snead right now, because obviously, you know, you take him out of that secondary, you know, that might open up a need you have for another cornerback possibly in the draft.
Yeah, it is interesting. I actually thought that we'd have resolution by now, honestly, so it's hard for me to get a great read on this, but I kind of agree with Jared. I just think, like, I know if the offers are bad, like if teams are basically offering like a third round pick, in my perspective, the Chiefs should just keep him on the tag and just let a comp pick come in a year from now. A third round pick is just not enough for me to take a chance on three in a row with an elite player like Legarius Sneed. It probably just comes down to either there's not a lot of interest and the Chiefs are keeping him, or there is a lot of interest and they're just weighing offers right now. And, you know, when you are on the tag, we have to understand, like, the Chiefs can negotiate all they want with all these teams. If Legarius Sneed doesn't agree, it doesn't matter. A team could call and offer two first-round picks for Legarius Sneed. If Legarius Sneed's not willing to sign with them long-term and sign – I don't know if he signed the tag yet or not, but the point is, like, if Legarius Sneed isn't going to sign a contract with that team, it doesn't really matter unless they're giving up, like, no compensation. So there's a lot to be going with this. I still think they're going to probably trade him just because all indications have been that they're going to trade him. I don't really want to trade Legarius. I think that I would just take a shot at three. I don't think one day two draft pick is enough for me to trade him when the Chiefs are trying to win three in a row. But clearly the Chiefs view differently. I actually started watching corners this week just in kind of preparation for if they do trade Legarius. There are some guys at the top I'd like. I think they could take a guy in the first round that I'd be comfortable with. But I'm never a huge fan of, like, trade a guy just to take his position in that same next round. That's just a huge risk. I think we've seen in NFL history that just doesn't work out great unless you get like Justin Jefferson for Stephon Diggs, which is like an all-time outlier.
No, yeah, definitely. And I also think something that made this a little bit more interesting was the Lions trading Tampa for Carlton Davis. Like, I think it was the day after the Mahomes restructure, they go through and make that move. They do it for a third-round pick. Now, I've seen a lot of people back and forth on Twitter. They're like, is this helping us? Is this hurting us? In my eyes, I'm like, I think this helps the Chiefs a lot. I go, I think this just sweetens the pot. And, you know, like people are saying, go, well, now we're not even going to be able to get anything out of him. I'm like, that's just kind of part of the deal sometimes. Like, when you're winning championships like the Chiefs are, you're not going to be able to get multiple picks out of every star player you have. It's just kind of the way it goes. But I don't know. Do you guys think that, you know, trade with the Davis trade, you know, do you think that hurt or helped the Chiefs any with what their negotiations have been like with trying to get the right return on Snead?
Personally, I'd say it's helped because the free agent market at corner is bad and almost gone now. I saw Kendall Forrest on today with the Dolphins. Like, there's basically nobody left there. And this draft, you know, I like I said, I like the top of this draft at corner, but, like, you know, when I get super deep draft, like, Cooper DeJean has, like, very short arms. I love watching him play, but he might not be able to play outside corner in the NFL. Nate Wiggins, I really like, but he's, like, 175 pounds. You know, it's not, like, a, like, super loaded, deep cornerback class. So, like, there's kind of this, like, scarcity at some point. And when you, like, Legarius Sneed, a proven elite player at 27 years old. Those guys at corner rarely become available. So I think the Chiefs, I think it'd be helpful because the fact that Carlton Davis, who I think has 1 year left on his contract, went for third round pick, that's a pretty decent amount of compensation. I do think it actually does help the Chiefs.
I think it might hurt from the perspective of, I think the Lions were a team that made sense for a trade, and that's just one less team on the board. I think the Dolphins kind of made sense for a trade, and in a vacuum, signing Kendall Fuller doesn't take you out of the market for Legarius Sneed because they're not really the same player. They don't do the same role. But I do agree that there's just so much scarcity with this position in free agency. It's not very deep in the draft. The cornerbacks I saw in practice at the Shrine Bowl, most of them are not people who I think you want covering an NFL receiver. Like, it's pretty light deal there, unless you're going to really hit the lottery ticket on day three. Like, I think the Chiefs should be able to find a partner for him, somebody who will pay him a contract. And I do think there's still some teams like the Colts who make a whole lot of sense with what they need.
That's where I think he's going.
Colts could definitely be a spot that he lands at. Man, hey, yeah. And I mean, I'd be happy if they got a second round pick, you know, for him. I think, do we think that's probably what we get now after that trade, a second? Or do you think it would go back down to a third? Because the Colts are going to have to commit to that long-term contract if they did, in theory, were the team that made the deal.
I can't speak for Jared. You probably have more, like, expert in this. But, like, I think it could be like the Chiefs give up a fourth and they get, like, a second back. to basically just kind of like move up around or something like that. But that would be kind of what I'm thinking.
I think it'll probably be a second straight up. If it's not, I think it might be a third and some additional compensation. The one thing about, like, you take the Colts, for example, the Colts have a whole lot of players they've drafted in the last couple of years that were linked to the Chiefs. If it was them, I wouldn't be surprised if it was maybe a third and then a player with 2 years of control left who the Chiefs maybe really wanted in the draft and didn't beat the Colts too. But, you know, Chris Bauer, their general manager, he came from Kansas City. I feel like the Chiefs and the Colts a lot of times are looking at the same players in the draft. So I think it will be the value of a second, whether that's a second or a third and a fourth and a combination of players and other picks. I think that's what we'll need to see.
So I have one thing real quick. Do we think there's any chance they could use Snead to trade up into like the 20s, basically just like giving up 32? And because like giving up 32 to like 21, I have no idea. It's like 21. I'm just branding a number. That's like, you'd have to trade what, like a second and a fourth to get into the 20s. So that would be one thing that wouldn't shock me, particularly if there is like a playoff team that is looking at Snead. I've seen the rumors in Minnesota Vikings, but like they're trying to get a quarterback now. So like, I don't care. Like, that's irrelevant to me, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to use that to try and get into the top 20. Cause then it's a lot easier to get like one of those like premium prospects versus when you have to wait till 32, as we saw last year.
Yeah. I think that maybe we've never really seen the Chiefs take that approach. I know some teams do. It'd be kind of a first for the Veach era. It's what makes it interesting to think about there. I just feel like he kind of likes to have, like, you know, I feel like he likes to have all the cubby holes accounted for, so he knows kind of what he needs. This would be like some real secretive stuff on his end if they did do it. But I mean, if you're giving up 32 and Snead for the right, you know, for the right move up, I feel like it would almost have to be in the top 20 though, because you are giving up like a player, and then you're going to have to come back and, you know, account for that spot on your roster, whether it be a guy you have or you're going to have to do that. So I feel like they'd have to get compensated a little bit higher than, you know, like 21 for that.
Yeah, that was just a number. I could definitely see that.
I don't think the Chiefs would do that without knowing like how the first round is unfolding and what they're trading up to get.
Yeah.
And you're not going to see a Snead contract get agreed to unless it's something like way behind the scenes, like we saw where the Titans just out of nowhere between draft picks traded AJ Brown to the Eagles a couple years ago. They had that trade already negotiated. They had that contract negotiated. Right. We just didn't know about it till draft night. If it's something like that, I think it would have to be something behind the scenes that we don't even see coming.
Be quite the news release if that did come out like 20 minutes before pick number 14. All of a sudden, the Chiefs are in a position to take one of these elite receivers or one of these elite guys in the draft. But, you know, we've gotten through a little Snead talk, a little Jones talk, but the Chiefs did make some other moves. You know, they went through, they did, you know, they re-signed with James Winchester. I'm fine with that. He's been a reliable long snapper for a lot of years now. Just going down the list, they tendered a few guys, you know, for their exclusive free agents. We'll just go through that real quick. Mike Caliendo, Cole Christensen, Jack Conkren, Malik Herring, and Nazee Johnson. Really, just in that list of guys, you know, Caliendo was on the 53. So was Herring. So was Conkren. Nazee Johnson probably would have played a lot. But when I see, like, that group of guys they're putting on that exclusive list, it's like these are guys we want in our building. We want them to be a part of our team for at least the next year, whether it being, you know, a quality backup, a quality depth piece, or just, you know, being a guy they – think can just handle being on special teams well and also do like practice squad responsibilities. Out of that group of guys, you know, I do think that a guy like Malik Herring might have the biggest chance to possibly play some legitimate snaps this year. And Mike Caliendo, his role is also increasing drastically, because we'll get into Allegretti here in a second. But anyone else on that list you think maybe could take a little step forward, play a more critical role this year? Nate, we'll start with you.
Malik Herring is definitely the one that stands out. I wouldn't be surprised if Nazee Johnson contributes on special teams. I know they just brought back Deion Bush, but Jamari Connor, I don't think they're bringing back Mike Edwards. So Jamari Connor would presumably be the third safety, so they have an extra DB in the room with Mike Edwards being gone. And Nazee Johnson, before his injuries, like, you know, he's got a great testing profile. You always have to be a little bit careful about like camp darlings, but apparently he was awesome in camp before his injury. You know, it's tough with like ACL injuries. You know, people or athletes will typically talk about how it takes a year to fully get back, but he got hurt in like June or July. So he would have had like a very long, like full year to get back. So hopefully his recovery goes well. That's the other guy I could see making a difference on next year's Chiefs.
Worth noting, they're not exciting names, but all five of them have been active for a Super Bowl. Like that's not nothing. All five of them have been among the 48 players who suited up either in Super Bowl 57 or Super Bowl 58. So I think they're a little bit better than most teams' deep depth players.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Cochran had like a good reputation as a coverage linebacker coming out of South Dakota. Maybe with Willie Gay now gone, maybe there's some snaps on defense. He did get in a little bit on defense as a deep reserve, I think, in Green Bay after Drew Tranquil left with a concussion. I do think Malik Herring has looked good when he has had to play for Mike Dana. It hasn't been very many times, but he did have a couple of decent games when Dana missed, I think, some time in 22 with a calf injury. So I think he has a very good chance to continue to have a rotational role with the team. And he is a Georgia player. He tore his ACL at the Senior Bowl. I think without that injury, he probably would have gotten a better chance in the NFL than he's had so far. So I think I'm going to be watching him in camp.